on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time, voted the most outstanding radio football program 2007, 10, 11 and 2013. For Ringwood Mazda, when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Well, after a slow start last night, the Magpies gave us a glimpse of their best footy. So, is Nathan Buckley on the right path? We'll ask him when he joins us as our special guest coming up on Crunch Time.
It was disappointing. We're pretty positive about our footy coming off the back of the game up at Metricon, and they got hold of us. Just really poor in contest. We fumbled terribly. It was disappointing.
The Saints show a bit, then run out of steam. So what do they need for future success? Their coach, Alan Richardson, will discuss that with us shortly.
I've never been on my knees. I've never knocked on doors. I have no intention of doing either. I am contracted to the end of this year. I would expect a coach at the end of this year. I think that's all coaches' expectations. It doesn't always happen. But all I know is I'll give my best until my contract's up, and the club has said to me that they will address the issue at the end of the year or thereabouts, and I'm quite content with that.
Is Mick the man to lead the rebuild at the Blues? After his enlightening chat with us in the coach's box last night, today we put the CEO, Stephen Trigg, under the spotlight ahead of the big clash with the Bombers.
A little bit sore, but the restriction of the movement is a big thing from our medical team's advice, and they're recommending he doesn't play this week and full assessment each Monday to see when he'll be available.
We were more than happy for him to play the sub role again, but he suggested playing reserves, get some quality game time, get some form and fitness back, and being able to push for senior selection after that's probably the way to go.
Rance is his own man, and he'll come to whatever decision he wants to, but we will support him fully as teammates and as a footy club, and for my sake, fingers crossed, it all gets sorted out.
I feel that we will look back on this period when it's done, and they have four or six or whatever it's going to be, and they're going to go, well, what in the hell was that period all about? It's bloody ridiculous, because what have we achieved out making a mockery of a sub? What in the hell's a sub?
It's been another big week of news in the AFL. Lots to discuss. Adam Goods, Alex Rance, Gary Ablett, all that and more in the crunch. We'll preview the remainder of round three. And our Saturday spotlight today will detail Robbo's visit to Adelaide and his fascinating chat with Phil Walsh about the way the game's being played at the top level and whether that is a disconnect with the way it's played at grassroots footy. It's another huge edition of Crunch Time, and it's all with thanks to Ringwood Mazda. Because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Yes, good morning everyone, and welcome once again to Crunch Time. Huge show coming up. Nathan Buckley, Alan Richardson, Stephen Trigg amongst the guests. Lots to talk about, as we just outlined there, after Collingwood, of course, tight struggle early against the Saints, high-scoring opening term, and then they totally demolished the Saints, smashed them in inside 50s, and in the end, a comfortable victory at the MCG. You can hear the voices of the boys. I'm in Adelaide, the fairly grey skies here at the Adelaide Oval, ahead of our coverage later of Adelaide versus Melbourne. The boys are back in Melbourne at the MCG, where Essendon will later meet Carlton. And the boys are Mark Robinson, Dermot Brereton, and David King. Gentlemen.
Morning, gents.
Morning, Hutto. Hello, Derm. Congratulations, you two, Dermot and Kingy, for getting through last night's game and keeping it interesting. The Pies played a pretty good team effort. The Saints were just terrible. And I had the game on in background. I was doing other stuff. I just couldn't keep watching.
You have a look at it, and to use Mick's words, that we'll look back at that game and we'll say, how the hell did we ever fall into tipping St Kilda?
I'll read St Kilda.
No, I didn't, but some people did. Some people fell in.
I made that my prediction last night that half time you guys will regret tipping St Kilda.
They got seduced by the pressure of last week. It just shows us how bad Gold Coast. Hutto, you even said that.
Yeah.
How bad must the Gold Coast be going? But they're a desperately young team. You have a look at some of these figures. 10 of their 22 players last night played under 30 games experience.
But Collingwood weren't much different, Dern, when you look at those demographics.
No, they're a whole lot better. They have better spread across the ground. They only had one player, Revolt didn't play. One player who's played 200 games.
I guess two. Is Dempster as well as Fisher? Oh,
Dempster.
He's questioning your numbers here.
Hang on. You could be right. You could be 184.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got about four players in the experience bracket that ran out there. Hey, mate, four of their players had played four games or less.
Yeah.
So one of them has to be on the ground at any time.
And when it's wet.
And when and when Collingwood are banging on six goals, you want experience on there. They've got to have kids on there. I mean, eight have played less than a season's footy, less than 20 games of footy. That means you've got to have a minimum of four on at any – five because of the sub. Mm. Five on at any stage. So they were kids being led. Now, Collingwood, yeah, they've got a few kids out there as well. Broomhead did well at nine, but he's been supported by, you know, 200-game players, 100-game players on every line, everywhere. They just looked – when they ran out and had a – I was down on ground level, remember when you guys yep. crossed us down there. Right then, you get a feel when you see him run past stripped, and I looked at St Kilda and I went, oh, hang on, this isn't good. They look like an under-19 team with a couple of prop-ups.
Snyder, Derm, just for the record, was there the other player over 200.
And wasn't he good?
I reckon we've got to look at fixturing with these games because if you're going to allow young teams, we know coming into this season, we know at the end of last season, St Kilda are where they are in the ladder. They're going to be a young team in 2015. You can't give them a Friday night with 2 6-day breaks. It just kills them.
If you back them up,
it's a young team that's learning to cope with
how difficult
the demands
of the
game.
Back-to-back 6-day breaks.
They can't train. You just can't train. You basically it's recovery mode
thing.
All week.
So we you talk about a lot of teams now. They put in just as much time into. All right, we're coming up against Collingwood this week. This is the way they play. X, Y, Z principles in certain situations. Let's go out in the ground and we'll practice this for 30 minutes before we do our stuff. You can't do that. You're writing about it on paper. You're looking at it on a board. You can't go out there and step through
it. So it's walkthroughs inside the club and not getting on the ground.
Recovery, just sheer recovery. The tax on their body from the previous encounter, it does take a while to get through them. I mean, the first 2 days are spent doing that. So you're really playing 4 days later.
Do we actually have an issue with Friday night, the scheduling of Friday nights this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do a little bit. I mean, I don't.
Carlton have got six Friday nights.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, but that. But
Richmond, Melbourne next week.
Yeah, but that's going to be like watching a war movie, like a series, just Friday night after Friday night. Carlton are in a world of hurt, and we'll get on men at the moment. First of all, I want to say Mick Malthouse was fantastic on SEN last night.
Mm.
Tell what I did like about Collingwood last night, and this is old fashioned. When the rain came and the ground got spongy, all of Collingwood players. All they tried to do was knock it forward somehow. Kick it, push it out, jump in the air, knock it forward, just go by yards and they were hungry. They had numbers. They outnumbered them basically all night from quarter time.
Well, they beat them up in the middle, St Kilda, in the first quarter.
Yeah, they did.
And you look at it and I thought, this is a super brand of footy. Super brand of footy, and they were quick out of the middle. I think it was 8-3 out of the centre in the first quarter.
It was.
Shane Savage was looking like Robbie Flower on the far
wing. And they were running and gunning through the middle of the ground. Was it sustainable? Yes, if that group has got another 4 years' experience in them. But on a wet night, coming up against Pendlebury, Swan, Cloak up forward. Cloak helped. Glued the other, you know, two youngsters together up forward.
They're all right too.
And then Elliot chips in as well as a difficult matchup. It's a big ask. They just Collingwood just at quarter time said, "All right, you want to use the corridor? Yeah, all right. Step into the office."
Was that Collingwood's best game? I think Dane Swan said after the game, he said, "You know, that's the best they've played for a while as a team." And I thought that there were so many contributors. I think Brodie Grundy might be, in my opinion, the most improved player. From last year to this, you know.
He's always been good, but he's a 27-game veteran.
Yeah, but he played like 10. He was back in the VFL last year.
So he's played three more games than Billy Longer, but he looks like a player who's been around three years longer.
Yeah, he does. I was so impressed with Brodie Grundy last night. His ability to get the ball on the deck, Kingy.
Around the ground, he's a very good player.
He moves better than last year.
He's got a lot to learn about centre bounce work still. And that's okay. He's a young player and he's learning his way. They kicked the first three goals and killed it. And we thought, hang on, this is a young team. If they can get some belief, then they can take some serious steps. And this is where it all comes back to leadership. We're going to talk about the game later on. Leadership right now is critical. Riewoldt pulls out, you're down, your marquee leader, the guy who drives the standards. Snyder pulls the ball from the half-forward flank back into the corridor. Nathan Brown intercepts. Collingwood go... whoosh down the other end,
wasn't it, really?
And get their first goal. From that moment, I think they lost faith. They lost hope. Oh, here they go. They're a good side, Collingwood. They started to doubt themselves. Mm. I think Alan Richardson will start the review by saying, this moment here set us back more than any other contest in the game. We had a great start. They were getting what they wanted forward of centre. Savage was coming off the back of the line centre bounces and getting involved. It was a great start, and I thought that they let it slip. They really should have had a 4 or 5 goal margin on Collingwood, and then you got game on.
Well, they played the game they wanted to play, and Collingwood were in it, and you're going to live with a few turnovers if you're St Kilda at this stage of their
not
progress.
Not from Schneider.
No, definitely not from him, and especially in the last quarter, the third quarter as well, he missed a set shot out there, which was tailor-made for him. The one bloke you wanted in the hands of is him. I was actually surprised they played him, but they'd probably have to on reflection, given the age of the list. But that first that went out there, but the first quarter, they had what they want. They played the way they want, and Collingwood got to them. A goal right on the death, and we actually called it on radio here. We said, just hang on, kill the ball. With 60 seconds to go,
Collingwood got one
more goal. What happened was, I reckon, 3 direct turnover goals gave Collingwood 3 goals out of that opening. What did they have, 5 in the first quarter? 5 or 6, whatever it was. 3 direct turnovers through the middle of the ground or high in the forward line. So, yeah, 6. Oh, they got 6. The 6th was that last one right on the siren almost. They gifted them 3 goals through juvenile mistakes, trying to pinpoint passes through the middle of the ground.
Kicking the ball to them.
Well, yeah, kicking is king.
That's what the Hawks do well.
It was just a real rookie error to give them those 3 goals. They go in at quarter time 3 goals up. They come out in the second quarter with a different mindset.
They do. Mindset's everything. A lot of things in football. Can I ask you both about Collingwood? You know, we know, Kingy, you identified this last year. They've got to go back to go forward. And so they've got to play young players.
Yeah.
Now, last night, collectively, I saw Broomhead, Ramsey, Oxley come in. Varko, I thought, played his best game for 5 years. Not 2 years. It was started last night. I really like... I'm just trying to find his name. I can't find it.
Not Crisp.
I thought Galt battled well. Crisp is the one. Hasn't he got some just...
Played on Jack Stevens.
Pretty good football awareness and talent?
Well, I was... You always walk away from a game and say, oh, what did we learn? I think we learned that Broomhead's going to be a star. And he was the player that was taken with pick 20, which was the Chris Dawes swap with Melbourne.
Okay. They had 3 picks in a row, didn't they? Is that the one where they Kennedy, 18, 19, Broomhead 20. And Grundy?
Yep, 18, 19, 20. But that was the Dawes pick. So I think Collingwood have been saying, well, we're frustrated because we've lost this talent that was ready-made contributors to AFL level. You know, he's Shaw. You can name more. We've done that to death. But they're finally starting to get a reward out of these picks now. And that's when the wheel can turn.
That's when it does turn.
Broomhead last night was the first time that Nathan Buckley's really trusted him in the middle of the ground at centre bounces. He won 3 centre bounce clearances. He was in there 16 times. Last week he was in there once. So I think now Nathan's saying, OK, I don't need it to be Swan and
Penry. Why? Why did
that?
Just very quickly. Once last week to 16.
We can ask him, Robbo, shortly. He's about to join us.
That's a sensational
stat. It's great. It's great for the young fella too, because I've got no doubt Bucks would have said, we need you guys. Crisp as well was in there a lot last night.
He actually played pretty close and hard on Jack Stevens. He was given a task.
He was. Yeah. And your boy, who you'd like, Frosty.
He's got some wheels.
He can keep up with the forwards on the lead, and he's a really good spoiler of the ball.
You know what the biggest difference last night was? Last week, they were horrendous kicking the ball out of the back 50, and it would have frustrated Nathan Buckley.
Unbelievable stats last night.
And it's guys
Jimmy.
Like Tuvey, Oxley.
Siegman, was it?
No, it wasn't. Langdon was...
Oxley was the main culprit last week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
and
I put a kid in, but...
And Ramsey.
But we all saw it, mate. Yeah. And even Bucks knows. But he'll back Oxley, and he knows how to get the ball.
Those 4 had 20 turnovers between them coming out of the back half last week. Last night, they had 5. Now, that's 15 cold turnovers.
That was the most telling stat put on Fox Footy last night.
We had Nathan Buckley giving the ball on a platter to the opposition, because that's what they'd been doing. And it must be a frustration to coach. We'll get to him in a minute, but I'd love to know what they did this week. I mean, St Kilda are a different defensive outfit than what the Adelaide Crows are. We know that. But St Kilda would have said, well, this is what the Crows did. Let's just do the same thing. Let's press up hard. Let's make it hard.
Blitzkrieg footy, just get it and run.
Yeah. And
Collingwood were able to stop it.
They looked like AFL players last night. Oxley and certainly Broomhead we've touched on. There's a couple others. I think Ramsey's got something to offer. His VFL numbers are really good. His kicking efficiency at the next level down over the last couple of years has been really good. So there's some talent there.
He takes a ball. He takes the game on. He grabs the ball and runs with him.
How much do we read into last night then with Collingwood, given what we've talked about with St Kilda?
I'm going to need to see them beating better opposition.
Yeah, but it gives fans.
Before you write them up.
To be honest, right now it's not about you. It's about what Collingwood fans think. If you're a Collingwood fan, Doom...
Sorry, I was asked my opinion.
Sorry. Yeah. But I knew you were going to say that. We need to see more. But if you're a Collingwood fan walking away from the game, what should they be thinking?
Exactly what you say.
Put some number 20.
Oh, well, I'm not going to believe until I see him again against better teams.
Well, so what do we think of Collingwood? That's a general... make an assumption on how good they are as opposed to the rest of the competition. So I'm going to need to see them beating other teams of similar quality. St Kilda are perennial bottom four or so. We got a bit of hope based on the back of one game and a half against GWS. And GWS chopped it up and coughed it up a bit and brought the Saints right back into it.
Now, I think Nathan is ready for us. You might need to check your screen there at the MC. He is. Okay.
He is ready.
Nathan Buckley joins us, the coach of the Pies. Thanks for your time, Nathan.
Thanks, Hutto.
Well, what were you thinking in that opening quarter last night? Did you think it was just a matter of readjusting a few little things, or did you have some genuine concerns as the Saints got away to a flyer?
Yeah, no, we were poor at the centre bounces, and we had our most experienced crew in there at that stage, but we were out hunted out. Pressured through that first part of the game and gave up six shots at goal or six goals in the first quarter. So that was more than we'd expect to defensively or through that contest in the middle. But we're able to straighten it up as the game went on.
Just to go back one step further than that, what were your thoughts on the Saints when you did their tape from the week before, I suppose? And I'm sure you looked at the first couple of rounds and their pre-season. So what were your level of concern with what they were going to be able to produce last night?
Oh, look, their performance against Gold Coast was really strong. And I mean, when you get into an early stage of a season, and I did hear your last couple of minutes before I got on about sort of where do you rank us or where do you rate us? And in the end, that early stages of a season, it's just a real feeling out process. Gold Coast, a lot of people are touting, should play finals potentially with the talent on their list. But St Kilda were not expected to do anything. And Kingy said they weren't going to win a game, so they sort of you've got to put your proverbials on the line at some stage, I suppose. But in the end. We thought that they'd been playing some pretty good footy from transition numbers against GWS and Gold Coast. They'd actually scored well from turnover and they'd defended pretty well from turnover. They'd run hard, but we were very conscious they were coming off a couple of six-dayers and that we felt that was an opportunity for us as well.
Boys?
Nathan, I saw Shane Savage getting 8-9 possessions in the first quarter and he was quite damaging. You ran three players through him, Dwyer, Varco, Broomhead. No one really put work into him. They came up the ground. Were you giving away something, freedom to him to get them higher up the ground and get possessions? And what was the theory? Hopefully get over his head?
Well, I mean, part of the reason why Savage was able to be so damaging early was because we did have other elements of their game that were working. You end up with the decision that do you change something when it's actually, I don't know, so it's phase two or phase three, or do you just make sure you get phase one right? And ultimately, that's what we needed to do. We just needed to get things right at the source, and the rest was going to look after itself. So, I mean, Savage was damaging it often. Opposition halfbacks will be damaging when they're given the opportunity to run off and create, and that's generally when their midfielders are winning contested ball and they're spinning out and they've got time and space to use them. So we needed to fix that, and I think we looked after sort of any of that run beyond that.
So because that's just, we were talking about coaching earlier and strategies and likes. That's real patience or real belief by you, because he's playing really well and they're three goals on the board and he's probably the most damaging player driving the ball forward. You're half forwards are playing really high, winning a little bit of the football, but they're three zip.
Yeah, well, look, we've got an extensive coaching panel, Dan. We actually watch a fair bit of footy.
Yeah, I would think
We think we've got an understanding of what our strengths are and the way that we want our game to be played. And you've got to, if you don't have faith in that, well then that you've got really nothing to build from. But I mean, we noted that Savage in particular as a halfback has been really released to run, you know, pretty much as a winger, as a non-baller. Sometimes, you know, 20, 30 metres in front of his direct opponent. So that's a fairly aggressive attacking ploy by the opposition. And, you know, if you're winning balls through the middle, it works really well. If you're not, well, then it can hurt you going back the other way. And I think we probably saw that as the game wore on.
Nathan, just to dig a bit deeper into that, St Kilda kicked the first three goals, and you're talking about the coach's box discussion and the intel you've got in there, and maybe not wanting to give up your phase one, to use your terms. At what point do you start to question that? Is it a five-goal margin? I know they kicked those three goals in a real hurry in 4 or 5 minutes of footy, and maybe the game was still settling. But at what point do you start to question, OK, we need to make some changes here?
Well, we reacted after the third goal, which was going through the tape last night, King. There was 17 minutes and 50 seconds still to go on the clock in the first quarter. So I don't know what the actual game time was, but barely 2 minutes had clicked over of the clock, and we'd given up three goals. So begrudgingly calling down the line, all right, let's go into conservation at the moment, just to arrest that momentum. That was yelled down the line. You don't want to be in that position. We don't want to see that. And in many ways, what that actually provides is more space for halfbacks to run, because you'd generally be taking a forward out of your front half and putting an extra number in your back half. And whilst that sounds great to support your defence, often you'll give up territory and field position because you've provided the opposition with an extra number, behind the line of scrimmage, so to speak. So begrudgingly you do that, but to hold up in your back end. But in the end, once we'd stabilised contests, I mean, it's largely irrelevant having that extra number behind the ball. You want the contest in front, and we're able to get that back on track by midway through the first.
You said you had your top liners in the middle, three goals down, and you said you had to fix the source. If you fix the source, Savage won't be running on the outside. How did you fix that source? Like Broomhead, Kingy just noted before, the Broomhead was in for 20 times last night.
16 last night.
16 last night, once the previous week. What did you try, Bucks, last night that really succeeded at fixing that source?
Allowing the players to settle. We pick players with the belief that they've got the ability to execute. I mean, Jack Crisp, playing his 22nd or 21st game of footy, played as a midfielder, gave it a little bit of a role on Stephen to sort of put some pressure on and then run off. And Broom had the same when he had his opportunity in his 10th game of footy. So we've got blokes there that we think are legitimate midfield types. They've got the capacity to butt heads and win contested ball, but then the awareness to know where to spread and when to spread out of stoppage, and they'll be better game on game, season on season over the next three or four. But no, they stood up really well as across the four quarters last night. And in the end, you've got to believe that the competitiveness of the group is going to be able to right the ship. You don't look, as Swanee said last night with you guys at SCN, just look up at the scoreboard. It's not a great feeling giving up those three goals. I mean, we started the game, 5 minutes into the contest, and we're already three goals back. So we need to improve on the starts, but clearly we've got some competitive beasts in the side, and that's I've got faith in that as well.
Bucks, last week they came out against the Suns, and they did play well, and they pressured brilliantly, but they played a helter-skelter handball run, just ragged run from the back line Gold Coast pretty ragged, and it got into some one-on-one contests, true one-on-one contests in their forward line, and they capitalised on that. What did you, going into the match, if they got to play that game, which I suppose they did in the first few minutes, but it was more centre-bounce clearances, What was the thinking behind stopping that, and how do you stop it for your outfit?
Well, it's no different for any other side. If they want to play fast, I mean, you need to be able to defend fast, play well, and when a side tries to run and carry, or if they're a bit of a kick mark side, that might play a 2 or 3 second rule with their marks and sort of come back off the mark. They won't have high mark play on numbers, but they'll have quite fast, fluid ball movement. Essendon are one of those, and I'm looking forward to seeing them this afternoon with how they handle. Carlton and with their ball movement. But we generally know what the opposition are trying to do. There's not a lot of secrets in the game. It's just how well you execute it. And we just didn't defend very well early. We knew that the Saints were really keen. Like, as the game progressed, you could see they were more and more keen to take the game on. They increased their mark play on. They tried to plug the ball through the middle, through the corridor. And whilst clearly that's a danger, it also provides opportunity, because if you turn the ball over and go the other way, you'll catch a few of them offside. So that's what we were able to do as the game progressed. And what you're trying to educate your players to sort of be able to read those nuances in the game to take advantage of them in real time, rather than having to wait for a quarter time break or a half time break. And I thought our leaders stood up and drove that pretty well for the most part.
Bucks, I think every time we talk to 4 or 5 coaches around the league, you learn something. I think you're one of those coaches that actually educates the fans on what's going on in the game. We're going to talk later on about Phil Walsh, who's just done a great article with Robbo, and we'll touch on that later. Do you think what the game actually involves now, and the mechanics of the game, is so separate to what the supporter sees and understands that there is an issue there? Is it so hard for us to explain to people what's going on that come to the football? Can they see it? Can they understand it? Do you agree that there's a disconnect there or not?
Well, that's your job as much as ours, to be honest, King, because in the end, you guys have a greater influence on the mindset and the perspective of the viewer or the reader and the supporter as anyone. And whilst I think there's some real informative neutral perspectives on, all right, this is what's happening in the game. I mean, the want to sell papers and to have people read and listen to you probably has it becoming a little bit sensational, or definitely sensationalises it. So that can sometimes take away from the reality of what's going on. So if the game might be in the balance, but or it might be a mundane game of footy, but the Channel 7 boys will try and build up something here or there or the other just to keep the viewers entertained, or if nothing's happening, well, let's count Swanee's disposals for the last quarter just so that we can keep everyone on the edge of their seat, and then we'll talk about how much of a character Swanee is. And I mean, that's exactly what happens, Bucks. Well, it is, and I understand that, but not everyone understands that they're getting drawn into that. So it can change the realistic perspective of what the footy is and where the sides are and where the game's been won, because we're sort of highlighting some sensationalist part of the game. But I mean, in the end, I suppose it's the job of the coaches to educate, but we're busy coaching footy teams, and we're relying on you boys to make sure that the comments are educated enough and consistent enough and neutral enough to be able to be unbiased and not necessarily about anything other than saying, well, this is what's going on in the game at the moment.
Have you changed anything in your coaching approach? Robbo's article was fascinating. I'm sure you'll read it at some stage if you haven't already, about Phil Walsh. Have you changed anything over the summer, Bucks, in the way you're just sort of going about the job, or is it just more of the same?
Yeah, well, constantly learning, constantly evolving. I mean, I don't think there's been a week gone by that I haven't learned on the caper. I mean, that as a player, as an assistant coach, as a senior coach, I mean, as a person, to be honest, I mean, I'm a stubborn type. You know, I believe in myself. I believe in footy, in life, and the way that you need to go about it. But no, absolutely, this I'm very open-minded in some sense as well, and I'm always looking for a better way to do things, and try and foster that in our environment. Try and encourage our coaches to do the same, and our staff and our players. I just love the footy environment. I think it just, you just find out so much about yourself, being involved in a footy club, and yeah, good, bad, or indifferent. It's a fantastic way to live, and I love every minute of it.
Had a great week, Bucks, on Monday. A bit of a slap and half serious. You said you've got no idea. And by the end of the week, I'm sitting with Phil Walsh for 2 hours, who was just so open and showing me and talking to me about how they play and how the game is played. And I learned so much. And you come on today and Kingy asks you a question and Collingwood supporters are listening. And you say, you know, we've got our phase one. Kingy said, well, when are you going to move into phase two? And I think listeners at home are saying, what's phase one? what's phase two? What's phase three?
Well, the coaches can't come up with to try and explain it to you, mate.
I know, the coaches can't allow that out because that's the heartbeat of the team, isn't it?
There's very little that the players, the team, the inner sanctum, there's very little that we own anymore. Like, our own media department are like flies on the walls. And we're very conscious of providing content to our members and supporters. But I'm generally the stick in the mud that goes, no, you can't follow me into the bathroom. Or no, you can't follow Swanee. Like, we don't want to overemphasise Swanee. Or we don't want to, when you come last day, can we talk to are there any new players in the side this week? I said, I don't want anyone to know about that, but they want to talk to them and build them up. And I just said, well, just let them prepare for the game. But and that's the way it's all going. It's a great thing that we're opening up these areas that people didn't see in the past. But the old school in me just says that there's got to be something that the team owns. There's an inner sanctum there that bonds a group of blokes together because this information is ours and no one else gets it, and that's still really important.
We'd love to chat more on those issues. We'll have to wait for another day to do that. Well done last night, Bucks. We've got Alan Richardson waiting to chat to us, so congratulations and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Nathan Buckley, the coach of the Pies. We need to take that break. It is all with thanks to Ringwood Mazda here. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Next, coach of the Saints, Alan Richardson.